10 years later, The Laramie Project, the lasting legacy of Matthew Shepard, on Sirius OutQ 109.
It has been 10 years since the death of Matthew Shepard. In the years since his death, many people believe that The Laramie Project has had the most impact in serving his memory. None of it could have been possible if not for the people of Laramie, who shared their stories with members of the Tectonic Theater Company. One person in particular was Matthew Shepard's close friend, Romaine Patterson.
I think before Matthew died, I was, kind of a young kid. I don't think I really had much world experience. I mean, that's true to a point. I mean, I did and I didn't. I was just a young kid who was trying to have fun and trying to figure out who I was going to be and what I was going to be or wasn't going to be. And, I was just trying to find my way. Pretty innocent, pretty naive, I think, before Matthew died. I think his death really changed a lot of that for me. I would say the biggest changes that I experienced because of the death of Matthew would have to be that, you know, I went from not really understanding a lot about some of the evils in the world, I think more so than some of the good things. And in that, I mean, you know, the media was very predatory and they were all about the story and they didn't really care about me or my feelings or my experiences. So I had to learn very quickly how to adjust to that type of person, which I think many times in the real world, you experience people who are very self-centered or very out for themselves and don't really care about who they step on to get there. And I think that was my first lesson in that. But I also think that the death of Matthew taught me personally about my own abilities to do good things. I think up until that point, you know, I had done a few good things in high school. I'd done some speaking about AIDS and things like that. But I didn't realize how impactful my actions and my words could be until after Matthew died. And then I started to learn that over a series of months and a series of actions in my own personal life that allowed me to kind of figure that out slowly.
Tectonic Theater Company member Kelly Simpkins.
The big thing that I felt upon meeting her was that in the year since this had happened and in the anniversary that she had matured quite a bit, that she had grown and seemed really much more grounded in terms of herself and understanding the event and having some, not closure, I wouldn't say closure, but just had some kind of emotional and philosophical understanding of what had occurred for her and for Matthew and in the last year. And I know she had done that documentary and had gone to defense. And she was quite emotional, obviously, because it was the anniversary of his murder. But I really liked her. I was just really a witness to that and got to ask a few questions, but was kind of timidly holding back in the interview and just letting Moises and Lee kind of push the interview forward so that I could just be there and kind of watch and listen to her.
I really related to Romaine, 100%.
Emily Landon, actor, University of Wisconsin, Manitowoc.
I would have done something similar in her situation. If someone like Fred Phelps would have been doing such a horrible act to someone that was so close to me just because of their sexual orientation, I would just be appalled. And I would have liked to have think that in that situation, I would have done the same thing. And I would have hoped that I would have had the same bravery and the guts that she did to do that.
My first thoughts on Romaine were, I'd like to get to know this person and to realize that she was probably the most accessible character / real person in the Laramie Project.
Lisa D'Annunzio, actor, Villanova University.
I went right to her personal website and I started delving into all that is Romaine. First of all, the Eat Romaine slogan is just like in your face and this is who I am and I'm proud of it. And I really was attracted to that. As an actor and as a person in general, I am very much in your face in the same way. Like, this is me, and this is what I have to offer to the world. I'm really not big on censorship of one's thoughts, and I really found that to be one of the best things about Romaine, is that she really puts herself out on a limb to do what's right.
Romaine has a very boisterous, giddy quality about her, and she struck me as very much a kid who was dealing with these really, really huge issues.
Greg Perotti, actor, Tectonic Theater Company.
I'd heard about what she'd done, and so it was kind of like a disconnect when I met her because she was kind of silly and young. And then just to watch her take her place in this very political role and kind of really hold her own in a remarkable way was pretty magnificent to see.
There was a sense of humor. There was a sense of commonality between us. We were talking about our lives and we were laughing. And there was something very unexpected about making those kind of connections with people in the face of such a tragedy.
Tectonic Theater Company member Lee Fondakowski.
So I was very struck by Romaine's resilience and by her ability to continue to have humor. And even after I left, I thought, maybe she's just so young. Maybe this is going to catch up with her later. And then when we went back for the trial of Russell Henderson, which was 6 months later, and she had organized the Angel Action, that was when Greg and I were just completely blown away by the character of that woman, because it didn't necessarily come across initially when we met her. She just seemed kind of like young and, you know, not serious. And then when she organized that political action in the face of Fred Phelps, you really saw this incredibly huge spirit.
Today, known as a rowdy and often outlandish radio talk show host, it is hard to believe that Romaine Patterson is the same person that, with the help of her friends, created Angel Action, a peaceful and political protest against hate. The angels are considered one of the most memorable moments in the Laramie Project because the imagery and symbolism it shows helps everyone relate to the emotion the world was feeling at that time. Here is the story of the angels, as only Romaine can tell.
The angel idea came from a conversation with a really good friend of mine by the name of Jim Osborne. And we were talking on the phone, and we'd already experienced Fred Phelps coming to Matthew's memorial service. So we were on the phone, and we were talking about the fact that he was coming back for the trial of Russell Henderson, and he was going to be in Laramie. As I was discussing it with Jim, we were both thinking about what it must be like for Judy and Dennis Shepherd to have to walk to the courthouse to face this man who helped kill their son, and on their way in, they have to pass this total piece of shit who's going to be out there, you know, condemning their son to hell, the same way he had when he showed up at the memorial service. And I just thought, what if those were my parents? Would I want them to have to see that or endure that? And so it really kind of sparked this kind of thought for me of how can we protect them? And then I thought about all the media coverage that had been happening around Matthew's death, and I knew they'd all be there filming it. And because Fred Phelps is so sensational, I knew that it was going to be the lead story. And I thought, God, I just lost a friend to this kind of hate and this kind of violence. And now the big lead story is going to be all about this hate and violence. And that's what you're going to see on TV. And it really upset me. And so I thought, you know, someone should do something about it. And I didn't, at the time, I wasn't thinking I should do something about it. But I was thinking, you know, someone really should do something about this. I mean, how can this just be allowed to happen? And I questioned why no one ever did anything to kind of show the difference between what Fred Phelps says and what good is. So we came up with this simple idea of using imagery from the Bible, being the angels, to kind of really show a visual difference between here's this really bad guy, he's saying horrible, hateful things, and then here is a visual of some very peaceful protesters who are standing silently and saying, enough is enough. You know what? We don't want to look at this hate anymore. We don't want this to be what we hear about. Instead, let's try to send something positive. Let's try to say, you know what? We're not going to allow this anymore. When we came up with the idea of the angels, originally the concept was going to be we were going to make wings out of cardboard, and then we were going to put like spray glue on them and put feathers all over them, like, you know, real angel wings. And then I was in the coffee shop where I worked in Denver, and I was talking about my idea with some regulars who came in and had coffee every morning. And one of them just so happened to be working on a house at the time. He was a contractor. And he goes, you know, Romaine, I have a better idea. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I'm going to bring something in tomorrow. And I have an idea. So he went home, and his name was Ron, and he came back the next day, and he pulled all these PVC pipes out of his backpack, and I'm looking at him like he was crazy, and he starts putting them together like a jigsaw puzzle, and before it was all done, you know, he had this contraption that kind of looked like the skeletal remains of a pterodactyl, and he goes, okay, now I need you to imagine. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, now what we'll do is we'll drape sheets down from these pterodactyl style wings. They'll just be like the skeletal frame of our wings. And then, you know, we'll put like a gown on or whatever, like the gown. So I immediately understood what he was kind of doing. So that was kind of where the design came from. And then what I did was I went to every Bed Bath & Beyond, Walmart, Kmart, any place where I could get flat white sheets. And I literally bought every sheet I could find. I bought out all the stores. And so we all sat around one night cutting all this PVC pipe with a power saw in my apartment, in an apartment building. I'm sure my neighbors love me. And so we were drunk and sawing PVC pipe and creating these crazy angel wings.
The angel action was one of my favorite scenes to perform.
Kelly Simpkins, actor, Tectonic Theater Company.
It was so moving to me that Romaine had done that and that that group of people had come up with that idea that was such a peaceful opposition to this madman who, you know, is just pretty infuriating to see in person and really sad to see in person with these little kids and these God hates fag signs and mad in hell and all of this just horrific stuff to witness, especially if you're a gay person, but even if you're, you know, a straight person, it's just really hard to watch. So that was just the moment where that character, Romaine's character, really steps forward in such a beautiful way and really kind of became a political activist, kind of became a voice for peaceful protest and silent protest. And what do you do when you know, a person like Fred Phelps is, you know, protesting these, you know, funerals and trials? How do you kind of oppose him and show a different voice to that? And it always got the audience. It was such a big moment for the audience that it was just such a thrill to kind of be a part of that, to be the ringleader for that moment.
Well, my favorite part, really, I mean, this is probably everyone's favorite part, but it's the angel scene, the angel action.
Lisa D'Annunzio, actor, Villanova University.
We actually built the angel wings, and it was interesting the way that they were built. They were made out of, instead of the PVC pipe that was talked about in the actual instance of it, but they were made out of wood, and so they were heavy frames, and that did a lot for my character because it really had a lot more weight to it, and the weight of the situation really made it much more intense and real to me. And the way that we staged it, we had our actor who played Fred Phelps standing behind me, and his words were very chilling to me as an actor because they were right behind me, and I did cry during some performances because the words were so biting, and that was just in the theater. I can't possibly imagine what it was like in real life.
My experience of it was there's Fred Phelps in this pen being insane and being really aggressive and really hostile in quote-unquote the name of religion. Mm-hmm. We're all pretty clear that Fred Phelps doesn't even care about religion, that he's just kind of a PR guy.
Greg Perotti, actor, Tectonic Theater Company.
But then to see this group of people who are being vilified by this guy in this pen acting in this incredibly dignified manner and also with such an intelligence because they're actually defeating his main purpose, which is PR coverage, because they're blocking him from the cameras, which I think is what I felt infuriated him more than that they were gay. So it's just really, really a direct and clear message of who is actually sane and who is actually not.
We had met with her the night before and she was describing it and she was saying it's going to be like this and our wings are going to be like this, and she was giving us the whole story.
Tectonic Theater Company member Lee Fondakowski.
She had asked us to be angels, in fact, but we decided that because we were trying to maintain our objectivity that we wouldn't participate directly, but we would certainly be there in the morning when she arrived. And Greg had tried to get an interview with Fred Phelps, and so he went over to Fred Phelps and he was trying to talk to Fred Phelps, and Fred Phelps was kind of spewing his vitriol at Greg. And then all of a sudden, it was 5 o'clock in the morning or some ungodly hour, and you look down the street and here comes this silent line of angels with Romaine in the front, and they just came around and encircled Phelps and just stood there. And there were many faces in that crowd that we recognized, mm-hmm. including Romaine's, and I have to say, I mean, I was never prouder.
I think the most special part of each night, actually, was when we would play the angels at the funeral.
Brian Winant, actor, Northampton Community College, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
We'd sing Amazing Grace with our backs to Fred Phelps, and I don't think any of us came away from that scene with a dry eye, yet our heads were held so high. It was a magic moment.
Fred Phelps, he's been protesting, or he had been protesting for years and years and years. He'd been protesting at the funerals of men who died of AIDS and so on and so forth.
Romaine Patterson, friend of Matthew Shepard.
And then all of a sudden, here comes this group of people dressed up like angels, which, by the way, no one has ever seen anything like it before, because I don't think it had ever been done quite like this before. And we didn't tell anyone we were coming. We didn't, you know, there were only a few people who knew. So none of the media knew, really. And when we showed up, Everyone kind of stood in a stunned silence because they didn't know who we were or what we were doing. All they knew is that all these people dressed up like crazy angels, this big line of them, were coming down the road. So what we did was we walked in and we kind of split off into two groups and we kind of surrounded Fred Phelps. Fred Phelps had never seen anything like it. I mean, up until this point, no one had ever stood up against him, or, you know, really, or stood up and tried to show, you know, that he was wrong in any way, shape, or form. It had always just been, he was allowed to go and protest and spew his hatred, and people just had to put up with it, I guess. So at first, his group just kind of stood there, and they didn't know what to do, because they didn't know if we were with them, and really, nobody knew. No one knew if we were with them or against them, or no one knew. We circled him and we blocked him out. And I think after a few seconds, it became very clear that we were there to shut him down and create this barrier between him and the media and him and the town and him and Judy and Dennis. So he stood there and his group stood there in pretty stunned silence for quite a while. You know, once they realized we weren't going anywhere, then they tried to shout over us, which was pretty ineffective. But the most interesting moment from being an angel was at one point in time, we'd been there for hours. We were on the shaded side of a building and it was super cold and it was really early in the morning. And, you know, we were all kind of shivering, but we were just there doing our thing. And at one point in time, all of their screaming stopped and they stopped, you know, being angry and hateful. And they started to sing hymnals. And so they're back behind us and they're singing all these hymnals and the angels are just kind of, you know, there's a slight breeze because there's always, you know, wind in Laramie and there's a slight breeze and our wings are fluttering in the wind. And it was the most serene moment to be standing there, because in a way we were all connected. And it was really kind of a unique moment that it's not one that I will soon forget.
Living through the death and events that followed the attack of Matthew Shepard was an unbearable experience for those people who knew him. But imagine sitting in an audience watching a theater group recreate those events while one of them is playing you. That is exactly what Romaine Patterson did when she went to see the Laramie Project for the first time.
I was like the last person who was portrayed in the Laramie Project to see the play. And, you know, after it had gone to Denver and then it went to Laramie, by that point in time, pretty much everyone had seen it. And I was living on the East Coast, so I didn't go to either of those big productions that they'd put on. And when they brought it back to New York to do it in Union Square Theater here in New York City, they asked me to come and see it. I was living in D.C. at the time working for GLAAD, and I'd considered it, but there was a part of me that didn't want to see the play because I didn't want to go back. I mean, at that point in time, so much had happened, and, you know, it was almost like a lifetime ago, and I really didn't want to be brought back to that place where it was all so fresh, and I just didn't want to be reminded of how horrible that time frame was. And so I really put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And it was just a few weeks before the show was set to close in New York City, and Leah Fondakowski called me, and she said, "You have to come see the play." By this point in time, everybody had seen it. I mean, everyone, even my mom had seen it. I hadn't seen it. And I knew because everyone told me how great Kelly Simpkins was, that she did an excellent job. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it. So Kelly and Lee and Moises and all of them conspired against me. And they called my girlfriend and they said, "We're sending you 2 train tickets. You're going to stay with us and you have to come see the play." And so the first time I saw it, it was so funny because here's this Wyoming girl in this New York audience. And, you know, and I'm watching the play and I was laughing at points that were hysterical to me because I was from Wyoming. And so I kind of got the inside joke that was kind of in the script. And some of the audience members, I swear they thought I was insane. I just remember the first time seeing it. It was really a really amazing experience. And I was so proud of what they had put together and how they had done it and the integrity in which they put together the play. And I thought, wow, this is really incredible. And, you know, even to this day, when I see a production of the Laramie Project, it still takes me back to that time. And I can still very clearly remember all of those moments for what they were.
Should the success of the Laramie Project be measured by the awards won or by its impact on society? Because it surely has done plenty of both. Autumn Walker, Actor Community Theater, Cookeville, Tennessee.
What we did is we actually took it to the Tennessee State Theater Competition, where it was received with open arms, and we were very pleased about that. I actually won Actress of the Year for the state of Tennessee in 2006 for my part.
The production I did with the school, great achievement for us. There are these awards that we do. We started here in the National Capital Area called the Cappies. They're like the high school Tonys.
R.L. Maribel, director, Lake Braddock Secondary School, Burke, Virginia.
It's done in 10 to 12, I think, now this year, major markets throughout North America now. And this is the first time it was done in this area, but it received 8 nominations. It was nominated for Best Show, didn't win, but when you get nominated for Best Show for this thing, you get to do a part of it, a cutting of it, on stage at the Kennedy Center. So my kids won because they got to stand on the stage at the Kennedy Center and do the scene. I was able to work it out what parts I would take out and do with the Tectonic. They approved it all. And we went bare knuckles on this audience. I mean, this audience is seeing scenes from, you know, Oliver and Much Ado and all these shows that are happy and go-lucky. And then we hit them with this right between the eyes. I gave them testimony scene where they got Aaron McKinney in the chair and he's just throwing out there how he feels, which just stunned the audience to their core. And I built up right to the point where I have Matthew's father come in and exonerate the guy. Well, not exonerate him, but definitely let him off the hook. And people's jaws were on the floor. They couldn't believe that what this guy did to that guy, and his father lets him off the hook. And it's a true story. And these people were just flabbergasted by the show. And it was tough. It was rough. People were kind of stunned by it. In 3 minutes, we were able to make them really understand. And I thought that in itself is an incredible achievement on the Kennedy Center stage for their all these parents from other communities watching this for the first time. And it was hard on my actors, too. I mean, I got to tell you, the kid who had to play Aaron McKinney and to drop all those words and to say all that stuff he had to say in front of those people, he felt the hate from that audience on him. But it was an amazing experience for all of us.
There's so much in this play. One of the things that really gets me was Jonas Sloniker.
Zach Schneider, actor, Community Theater, Casper, Wyoming.
Here is a gay man who moved to Wyoming because Wyoming is a beautiful place. And really, the idea, the myth that Wyoming likes to put out there is that I don't care what's going on in your backyard as long as you don't bother me about what's going on in my backyard. And I think that's very attractive to a diverse population of people. And the anger that Jonas feels in this play was one that I really felt as well. It was a kind of thing that all of a sudden you have this national media spotlight looking at Wyoming and how intolerant and how horrible it is if you were a gay person living there. There are a lot of closed-minded people here. There are a lot of, for lack of a better term, assholes. But, you know, there are a lot of really great people here as well. And the thing that got me the most was you have something like this happens, and then all of a sudden you've got TV crews from Denver and New York and all of these huge media markets descending on your town, going into the bars in Laramie and grabbing every fat boy they can and pulling them out on the street after they've had a few pictures in them to get them to say on air, well, if you're gay, this is what happens to you in Wyoming. So it was tough seeing this scrutiny on a place where, you know, there are a lot of great people who live here.
Before I was in the play, I hadn't read the whole script.
Jason Yoakum, actor, Community Theater, Casper, Wyoming.
And I remember when we got there and we had all 30 of us sitting around doing the first read of it. A lot of us got really emotional, and just reading it was really powerful. And I think that's one of the most memorable moments that I kind of always look back on and remember where I got the most choked up, I suppose. And we're all from Casper, and Matt had actually been in a few productions at Stage 3. So I think we all felt a really close connection. It really hit home.
Knowing that somebody that you grew up with, somebody that you knew, this had happened to them, that was a tough thing.
Romaine Patterson was just a kid when she stood in front of the world stage, wearing angel wings made out of bedsheets, in the hopes of creating change. It seems that youth today continue to fight for change by helping to bring forth the message behind the Laramie Project. Greg Perotti, actor, Tectonic Theater Company.
What's really exciting to me is students just telling this story. I can't tell you how much I love to see high schools in colleges doing this show. It's so moving to see their kind of enthusiasm and their righteous indignation, their complete and utter disbelief that something like this could happen, and how outraged they are about it. It's like that kind of fresh outrage is just so lacking in our culture. And so when I see it and I see people really getting behind the story, it's incredibly moving to me. And then it's also very sweet when I'm in the audience and they know I'm in the audience and the poor kid has to play. It's just a little extra torture for them.
No one in our company knew that there was going to be a play when we first went to Laramie.
Kelly Simpkins, actor, Tectonic Theater Company.
No one certainly could have imagined the hold that this play was going to have. You know, it's been done in other countries. It's been done internationally. And certainly the high schools and colleges that have done this. I never could have anticipated the popularity that this show would have and kind of the ability that it has as a teaching tool. I just can't imagine being in high school. I was not out in high school. The whole world is kind of changing. This generation behind me is so much more open and out and embracing of their sexuality and the sexuality of their peers. But, you know, obviously in high school and college, it's a really hard place to be. And I think this play has really opened a lot of people's eyes to hate, to acceptance, to a different community. I mean, we've always talked about Laramie being a microcosm of this nation. And I think this play just has the ability to really just have a dialogue with each community that the play is done in and really has the ability to transform people. And I've seen that at the high school level, which is just, I don't have words for that. Seeing these young kids fight to do the play, just the wherewithal and the strength that these kids, you know, have to do anything possible to get this play done because it speaks to them, because they believe in its message and its message of transformation and open-mindedness and to teach people about hate and tolerance and acceptance. And it just has so many tangents that have come off of it in terms of what it's been able to do for different communities and different students that it's kind of mind-blowing to me. It's been a really beautiful experience and a really thrilling experience to have been a part of a company that created this and has gone on to really have so many emotional impact moments in different communities.
Different people take away different things from the Laramie Project, but everyone takes away something.
When you read the script and then bring it to life even more so, you realize that it really did change things in a good way too.
Brian Winant, actor, Northampton Community College, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
There was a whole town that was left changed. And that's what was so great about the Laramie Project for me, is that it was the story of how this whole town was affected, and it was in a good way. It really opened people's eyes and brought the town together that, you know, in spite of the tragedy, something good did come out of it.
I've certainly seen it change the way people perceive the gay lifestyle or the way people perceive hate crimes in general.
Gary Lee Posey, director, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Oxford, Mississippi.
Just the testimonials that I got from the production at Ole Miss from some of the students who they had to write a little paper saying that we saw it and this is what we saw. And just some of those testimonials were pretty astounding. Like, I didn't want to come, but I'm so glad that I did. I should have been studying, but this was a great respite. Things like that.
It was really neat to see some outside recognition of what had happened in Laramie from a journalistic standpoint.
Actor Zack Schneider.
Because this play is very much a documentary of Laramie. And so it was really refreshing to see somebody that was out there, not necessarily with an agenda, but that was looking for what's going on in a town like Laramie, that something like this would happen.
Director Jackie Martino, Stamford, Connecticut.
I didn't realize how engaged the entire community was in terms of how it affected a community. I mean, I certainly remember when Matthew Shepard was murdered, and I remember just every little thing what the media had reported and all that. But I think the Laramie Project showed me that how sometimes a town could get a bad reputation. I mean, I think that people make judgments about a small town mentality. And I'm not so sure that even though Laramie might be a place that I don't want to live, I'm not sure that you can make a blanket judgment about the people that are from that town, just like you can't make a judgment about anybody.
It's made me more aware of social issues facing all different kinds of people.
Actor Noah Fute.
And I think it's helped me become, I guess, a better person.
I would not say I was ever an advocate for anyone or any concept or any group.
Director Dean Walton.
I believe today that I am stronger and better advocate for young gay people, gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender, and add on your favorite, you know, new letter at the end, because of the Laramie Project, without question. I mean, before I saw the Laramie Project, and literally that night we were having dinner beforehand, and I said to my friend, you know, this whole hate crime thing, you know, I just don't buy into it, quite frankly. I said, come on, you know, my brother's straight. If my brother gets killed, is that crime any better or worse than mine? Is that, dang, that's political and it's ridiculous. That evening changed my mind. That evening changed my life. I literally walked out of that theater a different human being. I've never been involved in fundraising. Talk about learning things as quickly as I possibly could to raise money, things like that. And that is all solely because of having experienced the Laramie Project.
You're listening to 10 Years Later, The Laramie Project, The Lasting Legacy of Matthew Shepard. Presented by The Derek and Romaine Show on OutQ. To make a donation to the Matthew Shepard Foundation, please visit www.matthewshepard.org.